it all right if I come down here with you this morning? Brother Dave, would you do me a favor and get me that big first aid kit out of that closet, that little cabinet back there? I would appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, 27th chapter. Genesis chapter 27. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture this morning. Thank you, Brother Dave. Thank you, sir. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture this morning, but I'm setting the stage for the message that God has laid on my heart for us today. So real quickly, as we get into the Word of God, Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse number 1, go ahead and stand if you'd like. If you need to sit down in the middle of it, I will try to hurry. You might want to read it a little bit later, but chapter 27, I'm going to hit the highlights. And it came to pass, verse number 1, that when Isaac was old, his eyes was dim, so that he could not see, that he called Esau, his eldest son, said to him, "My son," and he said, "Behold, here am I." He did not say, "I am here." He said, "I'm here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old," Isaac speaking, "and I know now the days of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, the weapon, the quiver, and thy bow, and go out in the field, and take me some venison, and make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat. My soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt the venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob his son, and said, "Behold, I hear your father speaking to Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, make me a savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me thence 2 good kids of goats, and I make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loved." Verse 15 of chapter 27. "And Rebekah took the goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skin of the kid of the goat upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, Jacob. And she gave the savory meat and bread which she had prepared unto the hands of her son Jacob." Verse 18, "And he came to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Verse 30, "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also had made a savory meat, brought it to his father, and said to him, Father, let my father arise, eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." Verse 32, "And Isaac his father said to him, Who are you? And he said, I am thy son, thy first son, Esau." Verse 34, "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother come with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." Verse 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one more blessing for me, Dad? Bless me, even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." Verse 41, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit permeate this place. Let our minds be solely upon Thee and our hearts surrendered to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll do my best to preach to you what God gave me. The time that is allotted, but if I go a little longer, if you'll be patient with me, I'll cut it short tonight. This message is burning on my heart, and I have got to get it out. I am not here to tickle your ears, but I am here to save our soul from a devil's hell. I can make you happy. I can feed you fluffy words and make you all excited in this life. And we'll split hell wide open, wishing the preacher had told us the truth. But there is a deadly epidemic in our world today. There is a deadly epidemic that is plaguing our world today. It is a pest that must be eradicated. And the only way it can be done to destroy that pest is at its root. I had Brother Dave to bring me this first aid kit because there may be a few scrapes and blisters this morning, but I would rather you make it to heaven with a Band-Aid on than not make it at all. We are living in that air and in that time, and again, it is not my purpose or plan. I love you. I care for you. That's why I desire to seek God to tell you the truth of what's going on in our world today. My fight is with the devil. My building you up is God's desire that He's put in my heart to bring you to a place of maturity. We are going to face some circumstances in our life before this thing is over. That's going to be very contrary, and you better be at your position and be at your best place, because things are happening and things are happening fast. But there is a pest that is destroying the church of the living God today. It's not only in the church, it's across the globe and in our world. A pest, by definition, is an animal or a plant that is detrimental to human or human concerns. Listen to that definition closely. A pest is any animal or plant that is detrimental to the humans or human concern. It includes livestock, it includes crops, it's for the history and the sad saying that it's even in the minds of individuals. It's across the globe. The actual term is also used in organisms that causes a nuisance even in the home life of individuals. We sometimes don't see that, but there is a disease, there is a pest, there is an epidemic that is reaching the vast numbers and inside the homes that is bringing that deadly epidemic. The old usage of the word is a deadly epidemic, a disease. Specifically, stay with me, church. Please stay with me. Specifically, a plague. It is, in its broadest sense, it's a pest that is a competitor in our world, in which it has reached the hearts and the minds of individuals. And again, my purpose for this message is not to expose, our lives, but to eradicate the pest and tear it out by the roots. It's only by the roots that it can be destroyed and totally wiped out. Now, as I preach this message, I want you to keep in mind Jacob and Esau, okay? What happened? Jacob took Esau's birthright for selling him a pot of soup. He also took his blessings by deception. Okay, so there was a something going on. A disease began to grow within Esau's life. A disease began to grow even in Jacob's life. And we find in the book of Hebrews, we find the term of that disease, and we bring it forth. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men." I had no clue what Chris was going to teach this morning, but this comes right, joins together completely with being a peacemaker and what I'm going to preach to you about. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We've heard that all of our life, and we make all kinds of excuses. Verse 15 said, "Looking diligently, lest any man fall from or of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby may be defiled." Our society and in our world today has allowed bitterness to creep into their hearts and into their lives, and it is destroying them from the inside out. And that root of bitterness has got to be destroyed. An absolute, complete, perfect example in our world today is what the Democrats are doing to an elected president. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care what you is, as long as you're a Christian today. But I just want to give you an example. For the last 3 years, from the get-go, the Democrats have tried to impeach the president. They have come up with all false accusations, and they have spent 3 years, millions of dollars, just because of the bitterness of losing the election, and they can't handle it. Listen to me. I don't care if it was the other way around. It's bitterness that has caused them for 3 years to spend millions of dollars because they didn't get their way. Perfect example to my message. They did not get their way. They have not taken care of health care. They have not taken care of the taxes. They have not taken care of securing our borders. They have not taken care of our military. And because they are so infatuated with bitterness, all they have done is fight the cause in their own mind. There is an epidemic of that bitterness. Every gardener, big or small — I'm a small gardener, okay — knows that you cannot chop the weeds down or weed whack them down and get them to go away. You got to take them out by the roots. Hello, somebody preach with me for just a little bit. I want to help you here. I want to slap the devil up the side of the head and put him to flight and destroy him and pull him up by the roots and let you know that there is peace and there is joy and there is happiness in serving God. But the root of bitterness has caused us to be dwarfed and has caused us to draw back. But can I tell you, you cannot cut weeds down in a garden or a flower bed with a weed eater or just cut or break them off, because they'll grow back and they'll bring others with them. Can I tell you, in Arkansas and Oklahoma terms, if you're going to get rid of them little boogers, you got to rip them out by the root. If you don't, they will come back. And when they come back, listen to me. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. If you don't, they will come back and they'll bring more and more and more of their weedy little friends with them. Can I tell you, it is not an accident that God used the image of a weed to describe a particular sin or disease or a pest or a plague that has a way of creeping into our hearts and our minds and causing bitterness to creep in and to destroy both within and without. Bitterness starts small, but most of the time it's because of a little misunderstanding. It's because of a misconception. It's because we don't know the whole story. But it must be taken out by the roots. It will continue to grow and create seeds of resentment and grudges and for unforgiveness. Understand and know, I'm not even going to look for any amens this morning. So if I get them, I'll just chalk them up for the glory of God. But I understand and realize, but I'm here to tell you that we are absolutely in a warfare. And the enemy is doing his best to cause all kind of confusion and division and bitterness of our heart. I don't know about you, but in the springtime and in the fall time, and especially in this time right now, there's all kinds of pests that we had to deal with. The ants want to come in the summer, and they want to come in the winter. They want to cause havoc. I don't know about you, but I hate them things. About a month ago, for whatever reason, Sister Diane accused me of leaving the door open. And if I'd have left the door open for 24 hours, there couldn't have been that many flies got in the house. I mean, our south window was just covered with them, and I'd kill them. I got the vacuum with one of them little hoses, and I'd sneak up to them and suck them little boogers up. 30 minutes later, Brother Larry, there's another 100 there, and I'd suck them up, send them on to glory. But there's all kinds of pests in our world today, and we eradicate them. And we find out where they come from and destroy where they're coming from. Hello? And so it's the same way with bitterness. God Himself, through His Word in Hebrews, tells us that that root of bitterness will cause all kinds of problems in your life. It will destroy you. And again, most of the times it's because of misunderstanding, misconstrued, and we just allow it to grow and to fester. But those things, that root of bitterness, will create seeds of resentment. It will create seeds of grudges. It will create seeds of unforgiveness. This past spring, in our little flowers behind our kitchen window, there was a little plant that grew up, prettiest foliage you ever see, big old leaves. And I thought, how many's ever seen a moon lily? How many ain't ever seen a moon lily? You need to look it up, okay? They got beautiful blooms, but they only bloom at night, okay? And that's what it reminded me of. I thought it was a moon lily that a bird had planted there for me. But anyway, I thought, I'll just let it grow. I'll enjoy it, those big blooms on there. And Brother Larry, you know what? As about 3 months went by, and I began to question, is that really a moon lily or not? And a few more weeks went by, and I finally realized it had cuckleburrs on it about the size of my thumb. It was not a moon lily. I mean, knows what a cuckleburr is. I mean, it had them big dudes on it. You know what? I went and got my leather gloves, and I didn't cut that dude off. I pulled it up by the roots. And I went through it in the trash can where it would be destroyed or put on somebody else's property and not mine. The dump is what I'm saying. Sister Vera hauled it off. She didn't even know it, but she hauled it off. You cannot. You have to destroy it by the roots. And the Bible gives us a clear definition and a clear setting that the root of bitterness comes into our heart and it roots out the good things that God has for us. And the main thing, that it destroys us more than it does that one that we've got a ought against. That's the way the devil works. That's why I hate him so. He tries to make things look like a big picture, and we justify why we are what we are and why we are like what we are like, when all the time the enemy has blinders on us and done nothing but killing us. Nothing but killing us. Bitterness is not one of those flashy sins that you can see growing above the surface of our hearts. It may not show up like anger and produce a big old hunk of rotten fruit like disobedience, but beware. Bitterness is a sleeper sin. It grows beneath the surface. Listen to me. It grows beneath the surface, down deep in our souls of our hearts. And the roots spread on the inside like a cancer as it metastasizes to every organ of our being. It's not a new epidemic. It's not a new disease. For the author of Hebrews makes it clear that when the bitter root sprouts, many will become defiled. Listen to me. Listen to me. Please listen to me. He tells us that when the bitter root sprouts, many will become defiled. I'm going to read you a scripture in a minute from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament that explains that even farther. In a manner of speaking, bitter roots, like the weeds in our garden, they keep growing and they keep multiplying, will cause a harvest of pain for you. And the people in our world, bitterness is a weedy sin that burrows deep in the heart that cannot just be cut out of our behavior that causes the bitterness, but it will desperately need the Lord's help to yank those babies out by the roots and throw them in the trash and get rid of them. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31 tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Like Chris was talking this morning in our Sunday school class about being a peacemaker. So many times we struggle with being a peacemaker with someone because it goes against our grain, and we want to justify why we're upset, why we're mad, why we got bitterness, why we're not a peacemaker, when all the time the enemy has got the weeds wrapped around our heart choking us to death. It is an epidemic. I said it's an epidemic. Now, if you're wondering why God has been giving me messages like this, why don't you just talk to Him and ask Him, okay? All I know is I've got a burden on my heart to make a church strong. I got a burden on my heart to make a church that is comes together under the authority and the power of Almighty God. I can't do it myself. Understand that. But God has given me a voice, and I want to reach out to you. I want a church that's strong. When all hell breaks loose, when we have to meet here in secret, when we have to meet in the backwoods by secret, when there's no electricity, when there's nothing happening, there's no food on the store shelves, when all those things are happening, you say, Brother Horton, that ain't going to happen here. Don't tell yourself that and be fooled and just go along your merry way. I'm here to tell you rough times are coming, and those that are anchored in Jesus Christ are going to be the ones that make it. I said rough times are coming, and those that are anchored in Jesus Christ are going to be the only ones that make it. We got to be solid, steadfast, unmovable in Jesus Christ, knowing in whom we believe and knowing whom our faith rests in. It's the root of bitterness that will absolutely kill you. Passage of Scripture that I just read to you, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is describing a cluster of emotions. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a cluster of emotions. It's a cluster of emotions that comes along with bitterness. Let me tell you, my friend, I am not preaching this message because I know nothing about bitterness. Your pastor has had to deal with it firsthand in my face for the last 3 years. It's made me sick to my stomach, and I've had to come to a conclusion that God's bigger than any circumstance that I ever face. I have firsthand had to deal with it in my own life, and the only way that you can deal with bitterness is to look yourself in the mirror and seek your own heart, take an inventory of your own life, and let God pull it up by the roots. I'm here to tell you today, God has. Through much prayer, I have been misconstrued. I have been lied about by people that haven't a clue what's going on. I have faced bitterness. Some of you are saying, well, it sounds like to me you're still bitter. I ain't still bitter. God's got it all. Everything's all right. I'm just telling you, I had to deal with it. And the only way that I could deal with it is when I faced it myself and realized that God's bigger than I am and He can handle it. And the only one that was hurting was me. And it was literally suffocating me and killing me. I have experienced it. And I have traveled down the nasty road. And I have traveled and I have seen what bitterness can do. And it will travel in nasty packs. When bitterness has taken root in your heart, wrath usually springs up as well. Then the weeds of anger, slander, and malice will lift its ugly head. And malice, listen, when anger and slander, we pretty well know what that is, and malice begins to lift its ugly head. Malice is wrongfully intentions. I'll forgive, but I ain't going to forget. Malice is what Esau said about Jacob. I'm going to mourn for my daddy's death right now, but as soon as the mourning's over, I'm killing my brother. That's malice. And we can kill people with more than just a knife or a gun. Hello? If we do not deal with bitterness, bitterness will progress toward an extreme anger and wrath. If we do not deal with bitterness, it'll turn into anger. If we do not deal with anger, we will start to clamor and demand what we want, what we deserve. If that doesn't work, when we start talking bad about the object of our bitterness, about the person of our bitterness, in hopes to recruit others to agree with our justified feelings, is classified as slander. By the way, in case you hadn't noticed it, that's all in the Bible. If that goes unchecked, we will eventually have a desire to cause harm toward the person we're bitter toward. And all of that accumulates and equals to producing a crop or a product for all along the way that we are traveling with all this stuff, kind of like the cucklebirds. It hurts people. It derails our relationship. It sucks out our joy. And because of it, the growth of the fruit of the Spirit is stunned, if not totally destroyed. Bitterness is like the weeds of our garden. 1 equals 2, 2 equals 4, 4 equals 8, 8 equals 16, 16 equals 32, and you know the rest of the story. You let one weed come up in your garden, by the blink of an eye and overnight, you've got more than you can pull up in one day. Just as weeds multiply, so does bitterness in and around those we associate because we crave justification. Those roots of bitterness is transferred to those around us. Hear me. The root of bitterness is transferred, that spirit, that weed is transferred to those around us. Our kids catch more than they are taught. I heard a story about a little boy come home from school one day, and he told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, we're having a meeting at school." And he said, "I need you to be there." He said, "I don't think it's going to be a lot of people with just a meeting that I need you to go to." He said, "Well, son," he said, "how many is going to be at that meeting?" The boy said, "Well, Dad, it's me, you, and the principal." So the daddy took his son and went to school to meet with the principal. They sat down and got real quiet, and the principal said, "Sir, I don't know how to tell you this." He said, "Your son has got a terrible habit of stealing pencils, stealing erasers, stealing rulers. He steals paper out of the copy machine. We have talked to him and we've tried, and he does not get it. He steals all this stuff, and I just need you to help us." Dad got real quiet for a minute, sat back in his chair and looked at his son and said, "Son, why didn't you tell me you needed all that? I'd brought it from my office." We teach. Did you know the reason why Jacob was conniving? Because his mama was conniving. You know why she was conniving? Because her husband was conniving. You know why he was conniving? Because his daddy was conniving. Come on. It follows. Abraham lied to the king. Isaac lied to a governor. Rebecca desired for the baby to be babied, and she lied. No wonder Jacob deceived his brother. And because of all that deception, it caused a root of bitterness that an oath was given. When we get through mourning for daddy, I'm going to kill him. A root of bitterness. See, the devil don't like for me to preach on something like this. I could preach you into heaven, you know, and just have a glory hallelujah time and shout all over this place. But if you got a root of bitterness, you ain't going to go no higher than you can jump. I don't know who all I'm preaching to, if I'm preaching to anybody. Maybe it's for me. Maybe I still got a little bit I need to get out, Brother Randy. So it's just about me. But if somewhere, somehow, there's a root of bitterness in our life, we got to get it out. I honestly feel a peace in my spirit and a peace in my soul like I have not felt in I don't know how long. I'm okay. And it's only by the grace of God. It's because God helped me get it out from the roots. From the roots. It will steal your joy. We teach with our words, those around about us, our action, our attitude, our emotions, and our behavior. We fail to realize because of bitterness is a sleeper sin that there's so much on the line, and we must be wise enough to ask ourselves, am I bitter? Am I willing to ask God for help in pulling the weeds out by the roots to destroy them? So with that being said, I'm going to give you a couple of things, and I'm going to try to wrap this up in about 10 minutes. Okay, will you stick with me? Will you listen closely? I'm going to try my best. I'm going to give you some things to look at to get started pulling out the weeds where bitterness can no longer sap your victory and destroy you as it springs up to destroy your life. So let's get started digging. Look at your neighbor and say, we're getting ready to dig. So understand the metaphors here. So in looking at all of this, do I replay the tapes of the conversation quite often? In other words, someone to continue to rehash? Am I rehashing all that went over in my mind? Am I telling everybody else about it? Because it's just, there's a root of bitterness there, and every thought that I perceive in my mind and all the body language that I thought I read, that it's eating me alive and keeping me in a state of turmoil. Bitterness flourishes in the soil of justification. I found that when I am asphyxiated on my interactions with someone that I don't agree with, or that I've allowed bitterness to come up, I'm looking for justification for my anger and my frustrations, and I'm feeling in my relationship, and I've learned that I find myself replaying the tapes going over and over again, and when I do that, I should see a red flag that there's something wrong in my heart. Number two, is my mouth out of control? Romans chapter 3, verse 14. Boy, that was stout, wasn't it? But that's what Paul said. Is my mouth out of control? When my mouth is out of control, Paul said in chapter 3, verse 14, that their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. No doubt there's connection between the junk that comes out of our mouth and the bitterness that has taken root in our heart. This will be one message you won't forget soon, huh? But I love you. Root of bitterness will keep you out of heaven. I'm going to say the H word you don't like. Root of bitterness will take you straight to hell. Hello? How often do we find ourselves losing our cool, being critical, snappy and rude? It's easy to be critical. When you have interactions with that one that has hurt you. Or perhaps you're replaying those things in your mind. So many times the commitment or the comments that we make with our mouth extends the bitterness that we have allowed that root to grow in our heart. If you try to deal with it in any other way than pulling up by the roots, you're not going to gain any ground. What's in our heart of bitterness has to be yanked up by the roots, or bitterness will continue to flourish. Number three, am I sick? Am I sick because of all this? Am I laying awake at night, unable to sleep? Can I not eat anything that does not upset my stomach? There's a psychologist, Dr. Carlson Worsey, has studied bitterness for 15 years, and his observation is this. When we harbor bitterness for a long period of time, it forecasts a pattern of biological dysregulations, which is a psychological impairment that can affect one's metabolism, immune response, or organ function. And even physical disease. Scientists have concluded that bitterness left unchecked interferes with the body's hormonal and immune system. Bitter people tend to have a higher blood pressure, a higher heart rate, and is more likely to die of heart disease or another illness. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 32, Paul describes a gold of bitterness. It is a bile. It is a gall, like the bitterness of your gallbladder, a bitter substance that can literally make us sick. It's certainly obvious that not all sickness or infirmities is caused by bitterness, but it is certainly possible that bitterness, left unchecked, can certainly play a part of our body being sick and becoming sick. Number four. This is a good Arkansas word. I don't know if Oklahomans use it, but are there those that you run with cantankerous? How many's ever met any cantankerous people? How many's ever been cantankerous? Yeah. Been cantankerous. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail by the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Many be defiled. It grows. I got just a little bitty garden, but Brother Larry, if I don't keep a check on it, I'll have weeds from one end to the other before I know it. It grows. And how in the world this weed can get from this end to that end overnight, I do not have a clue. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18. Lest there should be any man among you or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve other gods of other nations. Lest there should be among you a root bearing gall or wormwood. You know what wormwood is? One of the most bitterest things that was found in the Bible when the nuclear plant in Russia messed up. They literally called it wormwood because it was so bitter, caused such havoc. Like all weeds, bitterness has a way of spreading. The passage described one possibility of progression. It's a possibility of progression, like the weeds. Like I said a while ago, how can one get from one end to the other? Do I need to pass the first aid kit around? A man infects his wife. A mama infects her kids. Bitterness begins to spread from the friends to the co-workers. Before you know it, the whole tribe is infected. Is that not exactly what it said in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18? So, in closing, and please, if you fell asleep the first part of the message, listen to the next 3 or 4 minutes. Is your marriage showing signs of bitterness? Are your children bitter? Does your group of friends tend to sit around and have gripe sessions? Is your church filled with harsh and angry people? Is your community prone to placing the blame on the church? Is it possible that our own business has a rippling effect and its poisonous roots have buried themselves into the hearts and lives of us and our family, those that we love and those that are around us? Perhaps God is speaking to us to get the weeds out of our own garden so that we can bear fruit again for the glory of God. The only way to get rid of the bitterness is to confront it face to face with God, laying it all on the table. It's the God that we serve is able to eradicate all bitterness, hatred, resentment, and malice, and restore the peace and joy that we once had. Wouldn't that be awesome? Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 and 31. And he rose up in the middle of the night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, sent them over the brook, speaking of Jacob, sent what over he had, and Jacob was left alone. And there Jacob wrestled with a man until the breaking of day. Remember what I told you, the only way to get rid of bitterness is to get alone with God face to face. And here we find that Jacob had gone as far as he could go. There was things that was eating him alive, not only him, but also his brother Esau. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him not. Hey, I'm just telling you right now, a root of bitterness will kill you, and the only way to eradicate it is to come face to face with God, land it all out on the table. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel, for thou art prince, has come the power of God. Can I tell you, God can turn your mess all the way around, upside down. He can cleanse your heart, pull out all the weeds, all the bitterness, and change your name and make you ready for the kingdom of God. And set your face and make you a fruit bearer for the kingdom of God. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he hauled it upon his thigh. It was a sign that a change had been made. I'm almost finished. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. You all know the story. You've heard it 100 times. I need another hour to finish it up, but you all know the story of how that Jacob faced God face to face and didn't turn loose until he got the answer and got the weeds taken out of his heart. And he was scared to death, worried to death to meet Esau, but he saw Esau coming. He wanted to bring some things together, but he was scared to death. And he brought all kinds of gifts to Esau to give to Esau for a peace offering. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, Esau came with him with 400 men, and he divided the children with Leah and unto Rachel and unto the 2 handmaidens. And he put the handmaidens and their children forward, and Leah and her children afterward, and Rebekah and Joseph hindmost parts. He was protecting that which was most precious to him. Man, that'll preach by itself, won't it? Whew, there you go, Brother Aaron. He was protecting what was most precious to him. He passed over them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. And he fell to the ground. I mean, there was a lot of bitterness. A lot of things had transpired. A lot of things had happened. But he had to come face to face with the issue. The Bible said in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 33, and Esau ran to meet him. And Esau ran to meet him. Don't see any inclination where he had a sword drawn or a knife pulled. And Esau embraced his brother, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And they wept together. What an awesome, awesome, awesome example of God getting rid of all the bitterness, all the hurts. The Bible isn't explicit and doesn't tell us what Esau had to go through, but there was a time and a season. No doubt he struggled just like Jacob did, and even more so, because it was Esau that lost his birthright. It was Esau that lost his blessing. But you know, sometimes when we lose things, we need to get rid of them so we can be a better person. That's tough. That's tough. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I got all emotional. That touches my heart. And Esau ran and met Jacob and wept and kissed him. There's something about kinship and loving. David talked about it as in comparison with the oil that was poured on Aaron's beard that run down his beard and run down his vesture. It's like the peace. Such a peace. There's something about the heart. There's something about that connection of love, even when it had been torn apart before, but the coming together and the reunion. I heard about a mother who had 3 little kids from 4 down. And you mamas know how that is. Sometimes it don't take 3. Sometimes it only takes 1 or 2. The mama had been trying her best to keep order in the house. She had been struggling. The kids had one of their ADD days. And they was going a little crazy. And mama grabbed her head and said, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind. And her little four-year-old stopped her and said, "Mama, if you lose your mind, please don't lose your heart, because I'm in there." We lose the most precious things sometimes because we've allowed roots of bitterness to tear our heart out, to tear it up and destroy it. And it's affected those around about us. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a God in heaven above that is the best gardener that you'll ever find, that'll eradicate all those feelings of hurt and emotions and bitterness and make you whole again. My purpose and my desires, everyone standing all over the building this morning, no music, no nothing, just us and God. Chris wants to play lightly, that's fine. Just us and God. Just us and God. Us and God. God had nothing to do with that, so don't worry about it. Just us and God. Somebody say, just me and God. Just me and God. Say it again, just me and God. Just me and God. It is so easy, and sometimes we allow things to happen in our heart that we really don't mean to. And Satan plants that seed and bitterness begins to grow. Right where you're at right now, just you and God. You don't have to make no spectacle out of it. But just you and God. Begin to talk to Him right now. Come face to face with your issues. Face to face with you and God. God, it's me. I've allowed things to keep me up at night. I've allowed bitterness to take the joy out of my life. I've allowed bitterness to keep me from enjoying my meal. I'm sick at heart. I'm sick at stomach. I'm just sick. God, I ask for healing today. I ask for healing today. Would you pray that prayer? However you need to pray it. However you need to say it. Just you and God. Lord, I want to become a part of a church that's on fire for God, that's producing fruit, that's seeing souls saved, that is seeing people healed, that's seeing people restored and renewed. I want to be a part of that church. God, I pray that you'll take all the jealousy, take all the bitterness, take all the hurt, take all the resentment, all the pain, all the malice out of my heart. Cleanse me. Cleanse me up, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Help me, oh God, that I might become all that you have me to be. Don't just fly through that prayer, but you and God, get serious. Get serious with God. Father God, I look to you, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you are our hope, our help, and our strength. Knowing, God, that it's you, Lord, that eradicates the disease of bitterness. It's you, Lord, that can bring joy back. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He has planted the weeds. We're pulling them up today. We're tired of his tactics. We're pulling them up. And in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, heal me. Heal me, oh God. Lord, that pull the root of bitterness up. There may be a hole there, but I'm believing you for healing. I know you're going to heal it. Father God, I worship you. This altar is open. It is a day of restoration. It's a day of joy. It's a day we come together. And we we make Jesus Christ King, Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the day that we put the devil in his place. And we can sing that song, it's a victorious church. It's a victorious church. I know a man who can. He has come by today to touch our hearts and touch our lives. I just want to ask you a question in closing. I said that a while ago, didn't I? Can I ask you a question? If everyone in my church acted just like me, what kind of church would my church be? I want to be just like Jesus, don't you? If everyone in my church acted just like me, what kind of church would my church be? I want God to receive the glory, the honor, and the power, don't you? Heavenly Father, bless your people. Keep them safe under the blood of Jesus Christ. Heal our hurts and destroy the bitterness. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock, choir practice at 5.